So welcome to a special edition of the I Want to Be A podcast series. We're here today with Angela Middleton herself because she's just written a new book. To start with, Angela, this is the second in your series. So why don't you start telling us about the book series itself, how it came about?
Hi, Annabelle. So it's very nice to be in the hot seat for a change and sort of be talking about answering the questions as opposed to asking them. And it's lovely to be able to have the opportunity to talk about the book, particularly today, the 30th of November, which is the day that we're launching the book. Why is it a series? Well, they do say that everyone has a book inside them. That's what I've been told, and I'm sure that everybody's read that. And I really have always love to write, and in fact I was interested in a career in journalism at a very young age. My very first little bit of work experience was actually working in a local newspaper edition. It was called the Kent Times. And so yeah, I love writing and I loved reading, and so I've for a long time I wanted to write a book, but I've never really thought about what the content would be. And then as my career developed, I realized that, you know, what I was most passionate about and what I was constantly talking about day in, day out, both in work and outside. I find myself at parties as well, talking to people about their careers. And in particular, the niche of my business is finding that perfect job for young people, and sort of starting them on their ladder of opportunity. So I actually went on a course to start writing this book, and had in mind that I was going to literally just talk about, you know, have a whole load of tips really for young people starting out and how they could get their first job. And I wanted to write it, and I thought it would be easy for me to write it because we had been so successful in this field in my company Middleton Murray, which specialises in taking young people from school, college, sometimes even university, putting them through a programme, getting them ready for the world of work, and then placing them in their first job. And we got to a point where it was almost like a sausage machine, that we were so effective at this that, you know, to me it was simple, and I wanted to share the word with everybody in the UK. There are something like 700,000 or 800,000 young people who are unemployed. They come out of school and they don't have anything to go to. And the other side of the coin, you know, you've got millions of empty vacancies. You've got thousands, actually hundreds of thousands of empty internships and apprenticeships. So why are these two groups not meeting? And it's because basically, you know, the young person is not ready, doesn't know what they want to do, and doesn't know how to go about doing it if they do know what they want to do. So anyway, I went on this course thinking I'm going to write this book. As I started to do the mapping exercise, it was a great course, and I'll just give a shout out here for Mindy Gibbons Klein, who actually I interviewed. I Want to Be a Author, and she did a great episode for us. But she was really helpful in helping me to map it out. But it occurred to me as I was mapping it out that this had to be only the first of a number of books. And the reason is that the success of an individual in their career, especially when they first come out of school, doesn't just boil down to them. It boils down to what is going on around them as well. There are so many other stakeholders. You know, you've got the school that they've come from, which is going to heavily influence them in terms of their views really about life and about work and about careers, negatively or positively. And so it was clear to me that that stakeholder needed to be addressed at some stage as well. And then you've got the parent. You know, a lot of youngsters, you know, they don't come from maybe a professional network, and their parents, although they dearly love them, they don't know how to advise them necessarily. So, you know, the parent really could do with some help in that area. And I personally have been asked a number of times by parents, what should I say to my son or daughter? And then you've got the employers. You know, we've placed young people with employers before, and the employers have said, you know, look, he was great or she was great at the beginning, and then it didn't work out and I had to let them go. And the reason for that is the employer just didn't have the infrastructure and the understanding of what was necessary in order to not only retain that individual, but to get them to thrive. So I started to realise this is a much bigger picture, and I couldn't really put all of that in one book. And so consequently, I thought, right, it's going to be a series. It will be called the First Job Series. There will be at least four books in it addressing the groups that I've just said, which is the young person, the school, the parent and the employer. I had an idea for a couple of others as well. And so consequently, the first book was done. And now I'm absolutely delighted that I wanted the second book, because I have to say, even when you have these books inside you, sometimes they don't come out you know, very easily. They come out kicking and screaming. And I actually started writing this second book in the summer of 2015. And here we are now, November 2018. It didn't take me anywhere near that long. It's just that there are immense gaps in between writing. So anyone trying to write a book, I would say to them, you know, stay consistent and stay on a routine for your writing.
So for the benefit of people listening who aren't aware of the First Job series yet, can you just tell us a bit about your first book that you wrote?
So the first book was very much targeted at the young person themselves. So as I said, they are influenced by everything that goes on around them, but I wanted to talk directly to that person. And when you write a book, it's a really good idea to have an image of who you're talking to. Really think about them, actually get them, you know, in your mind, personify them in your mind, so who they are. And the funny thing is that when I was writing this book, I had you in my mind. You know, I was thinking very much of you, because when I wrote this one, I think it was about 2013, something like that, 5 years ago. You know, so you're thinking about that person, and then you start to understand, if you know young people, the sorts of things that hold them back. Number one, what they don't know. Number two, what they don't know they don't know. And you sort of alleviate a lot of the fears that you know they have, which, you know, you only sort of can do from the benefit of experience. So often I meet young people in my business as well, and they will say things like, I would love to do that, but I'm terrible at maths, or I can't do that because I don't know anybody in that field, or I can't do that because I don't have any work experience, or I don't have any money, or and on and on and on it goes. And then also they say things like, well, I tried that and I put loads of applications out and I didn't get anything back. And when you ask them, maybe they've done 2 or 3 or 4 applications, and you get them to understand that, you know, the average number of points of contact before you even get any communication back is 16. And so it's things like this that I knew that I wanted young people to understand. So that was really why it was written for them. They were the one that, if I could just get through to them and get them to understand their potential, that could immediately and very, very quickly transform the future of a lot of youngsters. And you know, I believe it has. We use it all the time in all of our courses. So all the youngsters that come through our courses, of which there are thousands, they get a copy of this book. I have great feedback. It sells on Amazon. It sells globally. So it sold quite a lot in South Africa. It sold in the States, sold in a number of places in Europe, and obviously in the UK as well. It's available at Waterstones, and we've had great feedback on it. And in particular as well, teachers have given us good feedback. And that's really why I started to think, right, well, the next book ought to be for that market, because they are probably the closest to the youngsters just at that point when they're leaving school. And another thing to say is that when we did our own survey of youngsters on our own courses about the careers advice they had, the vast majority, just, and this is our own research, the vast majority said they had very, very little advice. And if they did have the advice, it wasn't really that meaningful. And I've been a school governor myself for 2 schools, and so I've seen it from the inside just how hard the job is of a teacher, you know, just to address all the academic targets, let alone anything else. So I don't really sort of blame any individuals. I sort of blame the system, but blame is just pointless. Why not do something about it? And that was the reason for the second book.
Great. So can you tell us a bit about what's inside the second book? Now we know why you've written it, what can people get from it?
Well, the first thing to say about the second book is I was absolutely delighted that having interviewed Robert Halfen, who is the chair of the Education Select Committee in the UK, and that means that, you know, he has his remit is overseeing the quality of education right the way through, from early years, you know, preschool, all the way through to post-university upskilling that's funded by the government when people are in work. And his job really is to chair a committee which is attended by members of all the different political parties, and basically he challenges all the ministers that are in charge of anything to do with education to make sure that, you know, we're doing what's best for the country. And I've known Robert for a while now, because I met him at one of the Conservative Party conferences, and he found out about our work, and I took him back to our office, and I introduced him to a number of learners, took him to an employer and a school, etc. And he was impressed with what we were doing, because he could see the results that we were getting. He could see it was transformational. He could see it was different and unique. And I remember him saying to me then, you know, what we ought to spread this around the UK, and more people ought to be doing this and know about it. And so when I told him about the book, he was really pleased to do a foreword, which really reiterated the whole context of the book. You know, he reinforced the fact that, number one, he he'd seen the work that we do, but you know, he's obviously got a big understanding of the problems and the flaws in our system here in the UK, the lack of careers advice that there is, the fact that there is this gap between employers and young people, which doesn't seem to be able to be bridged. You've got, on the one hand, employers who really want talent and would love to get access to schools, and you've got schools and students leaving who really want that great first job and would love to get access to employers, but for whatever reason they can't. Whereas, you know, we've got a solution here that enables that to happen, and it's very sort of simple for us, really. I don't know why, but we can just make it work. And so firstly, in the book we have his foreword, which is excellent. It's lovely to have his endorsement like that. But then the book is mainly consists of two parts. The first part is really me trying to apply everything that we do that we know works and that's successful, and trying to suggest to schools how that all of that could be embedded in what they do, but without creating the need for extra time, without taking away curriculum time, and just suggesting that if we were to start to talk to young people about their career choices when they are basically in year seven, and you know, when you have parents evening, so use the same infrastructure that goes on in school. So for example, parents evening, when the parents come along, yes, talk to them about English and maths and, you know, choices for GCSEs, but also talk to them about the fact that, oh yeah, and John wants to be an engineer, doesn't he? You know, that's what he's saying. He's already thinking about what he wants to work overseas in Dubai, and he, you know, or whatever it is. And everyone sort of nods their head and agrees. Maybe the parents at that point will go, wow, does he? I didn't know. And off they go. And there is an awareness, and people start to talk about it in the classroom straight away. Of course, John could change his mind the next term and want to be an artist. Well, that's fine. Again, that ought to just be acknowledged at this point. And what I'm suggesting is things like, you know, complete days at the beginning of a term where visualization takes place, where students, even in year seven, start to visualize with the teacher and with their peers, just as we do at Middleton Murray, what their life could be like. And then after that, you know, they carry on with their normal curriculum. But it just having that awareness, it creates a bond with your peer group. Your teacher or your tutor has a much greater understanding of why you act the way you act, because they now know what it is that you want. It gets over that sort of shyness that so many youngsters have of daring to admit that they have any form of dream, you know, because it obviously enforces that right at the beginning. And there's lots of things in there that help schools to align this with the demands of all their stakeholders. So schools, obviously, they have quite a rigid structure to work within with Ofsted. They have the parents to answer to. They've got the school governors to answer to. You know, they've got the teachers themselves who are also on their own career journey. And, you know, they want to be challenged and stretched, and, you know, they want to see great outcomes. They don't want to be spending their whole time disciplining. What they want to be doing is teaching their subject, but also nurturing that talent. And so what it tries to do in that first section of the book is to explain what can be done to make this sort of transformation occur alongside the curriculum, and hopefully just give some good ideas to schools and sort of some unique solutions that they can pick up and start to utilise straight away without really radically changing anything else. And that's where the second section comes in, because the second section has basically got the content of the whole programme that we deliver at Middleton Murray. Now, this has taken us years to put together. We're on probably about our 50th iteration of it. It's got all of the forms and templates that we use, you know, so right from the beginning where we're talking about visualisation through to the end where we're talking about interview techniques and everything in between, to give them an awareness of the importance of managing your manager, managing your clients, managing your finances, you know, the whole concept of completing what you started. So they've got all the tools and templates there. And there's lots of links as well, so they can link back to our website, the First Job Series website, so that, you know, they can just pick them up and start using them, filling them in, handing them out to the classes, etc. So I hope it's something that it doesn't just sort of suggest pie-in-the-sky ideas. What it does is it tells them about things that we know work, and then it gives them the tools that they can just pick them up and start using them. And if any schools listening to this are interested in wanting to find out more, there's lots of, you know, different references there that they can go to as well, so they can actually see it happening live in our classrooms.
Great. So we've spoken about your first book, I Want to Be A, which is really aimed at the individual themselves. So this would be people in schools thinking about their first job, but also from my perspective, anyone can read it at any time if they want to change jobs. So this second book, who exactly would it be aimed at? You wouldn't expect the students to be reading it. It's just a blueprint for the schools themselves?
Yeah, I would. This is aimed at, first and foremost, is the teaching staff mm-hmm. and any of their supporting staff. Secondly, it would be the governors of the school. So, you know, the governors make the key decisions, and very often governors are very well-meaning individuals from all different walks of life, but they don't have a full understanding of sometimes the constraints within schools and the issues that youngsters have when they get out into the workplace. So it's really for governors as well. And then I would love all of the MPs in this country, all 600 and something of them, to read this book as well, because one of the top things on agendas for the country is skills and productivity. And, you know, you have to obviously look at where people are starting their journey, their work journey. And I'm hoping that they will read it. They will then see, you know, the sense in it, really. And then when they're actually liaising with schools and engaging with schools, they can suggest it. And so hopefully it will be filtered down from the very top all the way through to the teaching staff themselves, who do such a great job. And actually, that's acknowledged in the book, because I don't for a minute want teachers to think that I'm saying that I know better. You know, what I do know is how tough their job is, and this is designed to help them.
Great. So we know that, you know, you've got two books now, you have your traineeship program at Middleton Murray, you have this podcast, and that all kind of fits under this limitless banner that you launched earlier in the year, which was your careers manifesto that launched in the Houses of Parliament. So how does this book specifically and the series itself fit into your wider mission under Limitless or under Middleton Murray?
Well, the mission of the Limitless manifesto was basically to make careers advice available to absolutely everybody, no matter what their age, no matter where they are, and in no matter what sort of medium they want to receive it in and at what time. So our work has been very focused on young people to date. I wanted to recognise the fact that young people are actually pretty well catered for in this country now in terms of skills, because of all the things that you know about that we do, the apprenticeship programme, etc. But what I've realised over the last couple of years is that midlife people are not. So, you know, if you've got an individual that is at work, is earning a decent wage, but, you know, they sort of feel trapped because they've got a mortgage and they've got overheads and they've got responsibilities, or maybe they just don't feel fulfilled. They want to do something else, but they can't. Where do they go? There's nowhere for them to go to get advice. They can't really go to a recruitment company because the recruiter is being paid by the employer and the recruiter will want very specific skills. They can't go to a job centre because they're already earning money, so the job centre is looking after those that are not. And so where do they go? They can sort of randomly sort or Google stuff, but there's nowhere really for them to get real life careers advice. And then if they've got the advice and they know what they want to do, a method of plugging the gaps between where they are now and where they want to be, you know, getting that first job in that new field, and then, you know, sort of accelerating their progress. So what I wanted to do with the Limitless manifesto was to, number one, address all individuals, no matter where, you know, what their age and what their circumstances are. But secondly, to provide all the pieces of the puzzle. And so the idea would be that they would listen to something like this podcast series, first of all, that would inspire them. And if they are not an auditory person, or if they, you know, they prefer to read, then they could also look at the books, and that would inspire them too, because as many of the same messages in these books are what we see when we have the podcast guests on. You know, when you ask them what the important things are to make them successful and what got them where they are, they inevitably, and actually we're going to have a compilation on this, because they always say the same things, you know, sort of being clear on your goals, being resilient, being determined, you know, not being afraid of failure, and also the fact that it's a numbers game. And when you know what you want to do and you know who the audience are, who the employers are, you just have to grind it out. You know, so if there's like 500 employers and you really want a job, you have to access all of those 500 employers. And if you get no's, you have to then do it again and again and again and eventually get there. And we know that happens. And so those are the two starting bits of the puzzle, really, the podcast series and the book series. And then after that, you know, if people, hopefully they've inspired people and motivated them to go to that next level. Well, then they may decide, well, OK, I need a bit of work experience now. How am I going to get from A to B? And that's where we can come in at Middleton Murray with things like our traineeship programme, where we can actually place people in work experience. And there are a number of apps that are becoming available as well, which we're starting to sort of work with to, you know, and that will connect employers with people that want, you know, short-term jobs, work experience. And I think that's a really exciting development. And then after that, Hopefully they get a permanent job, and that's where our company Middleton Murray can come in, because they can place them in that permanent job. And then after that, once they're in their job, then they will need training if they're going to accelerate their progress within the role. And that's where our apprenticeship programs come in, our 0 to degree. And don't forget that apprenticeships are not just for young people. They will be now, you know, in every subject and every profession, such as law and accountancy and, you know, other types of finance and digital marketing, etc. You know, there are literally thousands of different types of apprenticeships now. And we see individuals who are 50 plus who've got a degree doing an apprenticeship. So these courses now are applicable to everybody and can accelerate you to as high as you can go, you want to go. And then finally, we've got our other program, which gives a very holistic approach to your career, and that is called Your Body Means Business. And that's for individuals that really want to get to, I suppose, their ultimate potential, because what it addresses is their body, their mindset, and their career. And the thinking behind that and the proof behind that is that if you really do want to fulfill your potential with your career, you've got to be working optimally physically and mentally. And so this online program is designed for those individuals who just want to take a look at everything.
Amazing. So why don't you tell us now where you can actually find this book, Bridge That Gap, where anyone working in a school or teaching or headmasters can go and find it and use it for themselves?
Well, we're going to have our book launch, and we will be putting that all over social media, so people will be able to sort of watch more information about that. It's available on Amazon. It's also available in all Waterstones bookshops, and if you can't find it there on the shelf, then you ask and you order it and they'll bring it in within a couple of days, I think. There's going to be an e-version. If it's not already there, it will be very shortly, and that will be on Kindle, so if people want to download it. We are ourselves issuing it to all the schools that we work with. We're giving it to all the MPs. If anyone wants a signed copy, then they just can contact me here, angela@angelamiddleton.com. I'll be very, very happy to send one out to them. We just want to basically distribute this book as much as we can. It is very much about making an impact, and I truly believe that if people would take this book, it's quite easy to read, and look at the sections and start to use it, even some of it, they will be absolutely amazed at the impact it's going to have on the young people that are in their schools. And I think it will have a really good impact as well on the teachers. Don't forget, we have a big shortage of teachers in this country. Lots of teachers, you know, they start this profession, and we have a podcast with teachers who talk about what it's like to be teachers, and it is not an easy job. And they start off so enthusiastic, and then when they realize the amount of admin that they have to do and the amount of discipline and things that are not related to teaching, it can be soul destroying for a lot of teachers, and they leave the profession after a few years. So what I also really hope is it makes their remit and their job more enjoyable and more sort of satisfying, and so actually a byproduct of this could be a greater retention of teachers.
Yeah, and I think what's amazing about your books actually is how they are just step by step. It really holds your hand the whole way through, so it's very easy to get through and to follow. So obviously there's a lot of content in there, and like I said, you know, it really does take you step by step through each section. But is there anything that you think would be particularly valuable that you want to just bring out?
Well, there's a few things, really. I mean, the first thing to say is that we have so many success stories from the work that we've done, where this is actually applied and, you know, transformed individuals and their prospects. And so after every section, I've included one of these success stories. And so what you see are photographs of individuals. You know, you've got snippets of quotes of, you know, how it was for them at the beginning, and you know, after going through our program and the jobs that they started, how they feel at the end. So it just sort of brings some of these things to life. The other thing as well is that it does actually explain the problem quite explicitly at the beginning. So I think if people are under any illusion that there is no problem and that actually everyone's getting a job, and what's the problem? Well, you only have to look at the stats, and it does explain that 783,000 people aged 16 to 24 were NEET, not in education, employment or training. And that's 11% of the age group. And still, you know, what we see is an upward trend. So it explains the problem, but it also then goes on to say what the vision would be, but also the reason for the problem. So it doesn't just sort of state the problem. And it says that the problem is because people come to us with a lack of vision, a lack of self-determination, to believe that parents and carers are not aligned, that there is a teacher shortage, that schools are driven by Ofsted gradings and funding rules, that qualifications are prioritised over outcomes, that employers are not engaged, and that there is limited careers advice and no alumni. And really, you know, what it's done there is it's set out what are indisputable issues really with the system in this country. And then going forward after that, what we have is a chapter suggesting how we can go about resolving every single one of those issues. And that's really how the 10 chapters are made up. So it's a fairly simple structure, but what you've got there is clarity really on what the problem is, what can be done to do it, and then proof that the suggestions that we are making actually work, real life proof.
Yeah, so it really does what it says on the tin. It bridges the gap between education to employment, which even I know is very different when you go into the working world. So as a reminder for anyone listening who wants to go out and buy it, the book is called Bridge That Gap: How Schools Can Help Students Get Their First Job and Build the Career They Want. It's the second in her series. So thank you very much, Angela, for your time.
Lovely to be interviewed. Thank you very much.